You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farad.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're listening to the theme from Halloween, one of the most iconic horror movies of all time.
We're only a couple of weeks out from actual Halloween. Some might say this is the best time of year to watch a scary movie. We want to hear from you. What is your favorite scary movie? What do you think makes a good horror film? What would you recommend to someone looking for a spooky movie to watch to help get into the Halloween spirit? You can call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also post your favorites on the Central Time Facebook page.
Reggie Ponder joins us now to talk about scary movies. He's known as Reggie the Real Critic, Real R-E-E-L, by the way. He appears weekly on Vocalo in Chicago and critiques movies for several other media outlets. Reggie, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, I'm glad to be back. How you guys doing?
Very well, thank you. So let's start out with, what are the essential ingredients for a classic scary movie, one that will stay with us for generations? What do you put in it?
So the essentials for a classic scary movie, I think, actually change. And I think they change over time. And I actually think that they're personal. I asked you guys, and hopefully you'll talk about it a little later, about what your favorite scary movie is, and your reasons will probably be different. So there's certain things. One of them is fear of death. So you're thinking, oh, man, is somebody going to die? Oh, no, not that person. That's one of those things. And you're like, please, not that person. And sometimes you're talking at the screen saying things like, look out, look behind you. No. Oh, I guess he's gone. But another one for me is disfigurement. So one of the movies for me that's really scary was The Fly, and it might not be thought of as a horror film, but I was just scary just from the way in which he transformed into this fly. It just creeped me out, and I think I jumped in the seat of the person who was sitting next to me. I didn't know them exactly, but so there are a number of things, and again, I think they're different. Suspense is a big one. Is the suspense real? Do you believe it? Because sometimes you'll go to a scary movie and you'll see people actually laugh because the suspense is just doesn't ring true. I don't know if that has happened to you guys where you go to a scary movie and people are like, yeah, right, that's not even funny.
Well, let's talk about suspense, and let's talk about one that I picked as one of my favorite scary movies of all time, and I saw it maybe at the right age to have it stick with me. This is Alien. Going to give a listen to the captain of the cargo ship Nostromo explaining to the crew why their ship, they refer to it as Mother, woke them up halfway home instead of just outside Earth's orbit where they expected to wake up.
Some of you may have figured out we're not home yet. We're only halfway there.
What?
Mother's interrupted the course of our journey.
What?
Yeah. She's programmed to do that should certain conditions arise. They have.
Like what?
Seems she has intercepted a transmission of unknown origin. She got us up to check it out.
A transmission? Out here?
Yeah.
What kind of a transmission?
Acoustical beacon. It repeats at intervals of 12 seconds.
SOS?
I don't know.
Human?
Unknown.
So things go downhill from there, spoiler alert, and lots of suspense. It's a science fiction movie, sure, but I always say that this is a horror movie. Reggie, talk about science fiction, horror, and suspense there in Alien.
Well, a couple of things as it relates to Alien. That made my list too, Rob. It's one of those that I don't really like scary movies as a – if you invited me, I'd probably say, no, I don't want to go. Because I'm always scared. But Aliens, they just did a really good job. And I think what they do on Alien is that they borrow a number of things from what horror films do. And when you talk about suspense was fantastic. But it was also very scary. So they'll make it darker. Horror movies like to make things in the dark and make it darker. So the environment seemed scary in that regard. And another thing is that it was the fear of the unusual with Alien, is that you don't know what it is, you're scared of the unusual, and that's one of those things that sci-fi movies borrow heavily from these spooky and scary movies.
Reggie, I want to go back to the 1960s to revisit Night of the Living Dead. And here's this clip where Johnny is teasing his sister Barbara in a graveyard, and little did he know, he was also foreshadowing what was about to happen.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're acting like a child.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
So what made Night of the Living Dead so scary, and what was up with these ghouls?
Well, you picked up on a couple of things. The fear of death is one that I already spoke about. Being in the dark in a cemetery, come on. Now, I know some kids actually now during Halloween, they go to a cemetery, but that's probably the last place that you want to be. So it is a scary place. And I think they did a good job also with the suspense piece, because while it might have foreshadowed what was going to happen, you still were like, is it really going to happen? It's an art to do that. To say, okay, we're going to kind of tell you what might happen, but maybe it might not happen, and then it does happen, and you're scared. So I think they did a good job with that.
We're talking about scary movies with Reggie Ponder. You can join in with your favorites at 800-642-1234. Is there a horror movie you love? Horror movie you love to fear? Call in, 800-642-1234. We'll go to our callers. Thomas is on the line in Milwaukee. Thomas, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What scary movie do you have for us?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of scary movies, but there's one I just saw recently called Arachnophobia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Starring Jeff Daniels. And, that movie, I thought it was going to be just I don't know what I was expecting. But anyway, it was really scary. It was hard to watch. Because it's just a simple thing like spiders, but they just took it to extremes.
And Thomas, I got to ask, how are you with spiders in real life? And you can have a different answer for before and after watching Arachnophobia.
Oh, my God. Before, it was I was kind of scared of spiders, and they didn't freak me out that much. But after the movie, it's I can't go anywhere without being scared of a spider being there, especially a barn.
Oh, no. Thomas, thank you so much. I will put in a plug for spiders. We talked to a Wisconsin spider expert who says they mostly don't bite. They mostly do a lot of good. But that idea of taking something, Reggie, a lot of, I think, Hitchcock movies and Stephen King books, take that familiar thing that maybe you're a little creeped out by and take it to an extreme. The birds, I guess I'm thinking about.
Absolutely, like the birds. So when you look at it, snakes, spiders, rats, and other kind of crawly things are really scary. And what happens is that, at least what happens to me, is that I'm sitting in the movie and I'm feeling now that something is crawling over me. I'm like, don't touch me. No, that type of thing. So creepy, crawly things, that's one of the things that they use to really get you scared. And it actually plays on some real fears, too, because people are really scared of snakes, spiders, rats, those types of things. So I think that it works really well when you put it either in a horror movie or a sci-fi movie.
And, Reggie, one of my favorite picks for Scariest Movie is one that I bought into the hoax completely, the Blair Witch Project, the 1999.
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, the Blair Witch Project, the 1999 version. And here's the iconic close-up shot from the Blair Witch Project.
And this is where we've ended up. And it's all because of me that we're here now. Hungry and cold. And hunted.
So, what about this element of, reality, of truth entering into scary movies?
Yeah, that's one that actually resonates really well. When you look at a movie like The Blair Witch Project that has some real truth in it, you don't have to suspend belief. You're saying to yourself, oh, I could actually be in this situation. And that makes it even scarier. And so there's some movies, for instance, that rely on witches, Ouija boards, the some of the supernatural things like seances and things of that nature. And since those are things that actually happen today, that people actually indulge in those things, that actually makes it that more real and that much more scarier.
Back to our callers now with Gayla in Black Earth. Hi.
Hi there. I just was just listening to you on the radio, and I had to call and tell you that when I was like about 15, 16, I went to go see Night of the Living Dead at an outdoor movie theater in Montevideo, Minnesota, with five girls, and it was so scary, and I was driving, and I remember looking in the rearview mirror, seeing something coming at me, and it was my face. And I just can't, I still get breathing creeps, and to this day I cannot look in my rearview mirror without thinking of Night of the Living Dead, because I thought that face was right at me, on me, you know what I mean, coming in from the back of the car.
Yeah. Oh, Gayla, I think the key words there, Reggie, were when I was 15 or 16, because I'm thinking, yeah, that's when I saw Alien, that's when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, a couple Twilight Zone episodes, including one looking in a rearview mirror that I still think about when I look in my rearview mirror. Is there something about those mid-teen years that makes the horror movie really stick with us?
Oh, absolutely, and those are the fun times when you're a teenager and you actually go to these movies, because you probably haven't seen enough of them in the first place. You've probably been sheltered by your parents at 10, 11, 12. They wouldn't allow you to see these movies, so now you have carte blanche. You get to run out and see them, and it scares the bejesus out of you. I won't curse. I won't use any swearing, because I know you just had that segment, so it scares the bejesus out of you. I do want to mention before we get off, because I know we don't have that much time, is that at least ask Kate, is that, Kate, where did you see the Blair Witch Project?
Oh, good question.
Yes. And so it's very vivid to me. It was this cold, dank uptown theater in Minneapolis, and it was winter and dark, and that all influenced this whole
nice
aura of the Blair Witch Project.
And I really wanted to ask you that question, because I think, Rob, to your question, not only does the age play into it, but actually, where did you go see it? Hmm. Who did you go see it with? What time of year was it? All that kind of stuff kind of plays into it. And I think that's why right now, next week, in fact, three scary movies are coming out. And because they know it's the Halloween period, it's the Halloween time, and that's the time when you're ready for a good scare or scared for a good scare.
We're talking to Reggie Ponder now about scary movies leading up to Halloween.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a movie you watch every Halloween to get ready? Is there a scary movie that scared you so much you will never watch it ever again? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're picking up our discussion now about horror movies with Reggie Ponder, known as Reggie the Real Critic.
Call in with your favorite scary movie at 800-642-1234. Let us know what makes a good one, a bad one. Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Right back to our callers. Sean is on the line in Appleton. Sean, hi.
Hi. The movies that I really enjoy watching are the older ones, like The Exorcist, The Omen, Poltergeist. That's one of my favorites. Even back to Rosemary's Baby. I like the old classic movies, not remade, the old ones.
And sounds like you like the supernatural kind of stuff, some of it religious themed. Does that appeal to you in particular, Sean?
Yeah, actually, no. When you mentioned it, yeah.
Really Omen, Exorcist, it. Rosemary's Baby, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Well, thanks so much, Sean. Reggie, any shout-outs to those classics?
Yeah. So when you look at some of the list, and there are a lot of lists out there. There's an American Film Institute list. There's a Time Out London 100 list, and that was done by 100 experts in the field. And those films all do movies like Psycho, Jaws, The Exorcist, The Shining, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Psycho, Rosemary Baby, and Halloween. So those all kind of come in either the top 10 or the top 20. A couple of mine don't make it to the top 10 or top 20. But I, as I said, The Fly is one of the ones for me, as well as Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah.
And Reggie, we understand that you have a very low tolerance level for scary movies.
I do.
It's okay. You can admit it. Yes. So, you know, why are some people able to tolerate them, actually love them, embrace them, and others can't even stomach them?
I think it's the same reason that people go to these haunted houses and just have a great time. They don't mind a good scare. You kind of know you're going to be scared, so you're in anticipation of that. But I think that sometimes our fears to get the best of us for people who don't love these movies. So I am scared of spiders. My sister Alvina is posting on Facebook right now. She's not scared of spiders. Spiders are not scary. But I'm scared of spiders. So you put that on TV, on the movie screen, maybe I don't want to go see that. So I think sometimes our fears actually prevent us from enjoying and having fun in that way.
Back to our callers. Terry is with us next in Mineral Point. Terry, hi. What did you want to share with us, Terry?
Oh, yeah. The classic. Julie Harris, I believe it was The Haunting. The movie, I think it was 1965. Black and white, made from the book The Haunting of Hill House. Do you know that one?
I think so. Was this a kind of a more subtle one? Like it didn't hit you over the head with the scary stuff? It kind of was creepy and built up. Is that right?
Very much so. Very much so. You never saw anything.
Right.
You know, you heard things, but you never saw anything, and you were never really sure if anything was going to be there or not. If the door would bend inward, some banging going on outside the door, and pressing the door inward, and the door looks like it's going to collapse, but you have the feeling if you open the door, there'd be nothing there.
Wow. Terry, thank you so much. And that brings up a point I wanted to get to, Reggie, that I'm always amazed by horror movies that, you know, they don't hit you overhead with it. They don't show you the scary thing. Yeah. They create that ambiance. That seems like it's hard to pull off, though.
It really is. So it's so hard to pull off a film where it might be there and it might not be there, and you may never see it. And that is why I do believe, and I've been to a number of scary movies where people are laughing, because it just doesn't ring true. It's not believable. You just don't buy into the story. So that skill of being able to scare somebody or have that anticipation, it's all about timing. And they talk about in comic land how you have to have that comedic timing. Well, that's the same kind of thing here when you're talking about scary land. You really have to have good timing.
Hey, Reggie, let's revisit Silence of the Lambs. And we've got a clip here of the famous Hannibal Lecter who's berating the FBI agent Clarice Starling.
You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your cheap shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed, hustling robe with a little taste. Good nutrition's given you some length of bone, but you're not more than one generation from poor wire trash, are you, Agent Starling? And that accent you've tried so desperately to shed, pure West Virginia.
That, to me, reminds me of this slow and steady chill, and things are just going south, you know? Reggie, what do you think?
Well, the science... Silence of the Lambs, for me, that's a scary movie, just because this guy is crazy. I think deranged. So just the way in which he played that character would make you scared of anything. come on, tell me I'm not.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean,
cannibalism, you know, yeah, that'll get you.
But I mean, Anthony Hopkins, if he acted that way and it was a toothpaste commercial, I'd still come away scared.
Yeah. So again, it's the believability piece here. This one, you didn't have the dark, you didn't have creepy crawly things, you didn't have a scary place, you had a scary person. Just a plain scary person, and it worked.
Definitely. Talking to Reggie Ponder about scary movies, back to your calls with Nikki in East Troy. Nikki, hi.
Hi, I was actually calling in because one of the movies that scared me was Darkness Falls. I don't know if you guys remember about the Tooth Fairy. But the fact that that's something that you're brought up as a little kid to believe in, that she's a good person, that she's going to leave a dollar under your pillow for your tooth, that's somebody who's going to come take your tooth, and if you see her, she's going to kill you. Oh, that kind of made me afraid of the dark when I was younger, and I actually have not seen that movie since.
How old were you when you saw this, Nikki?
I want to say I was 11 or 12.
Okay, all right. A little old for tooth fairy money there, I guess. But still, yeah, taking that familiar thing and putting a creepy twist on it, Reggie, like in this case, the tooth fairy.
That's right. I did not see Darkness Falls, but when you put that, everybody loves the tooth fairy. You'll take your own tooth out so you can get some money. So now that they're going to play on that whole thing, it will hurt a kid. Why would you do that? We need to talk to the producers and the director of that one, because that's just unfair to 12 and 13-year-old children.
So, Reggie, here's the burning question. I want to know if there are any scary movies that you are going to be watching as you get closer to Halloween here.
Well, there's three that are out, and one is Ouija, Origin of Evil. I will not be watching it because I'm not going to run out and see that. That whole Ouija board stuff, that's a little bit too real for me. No, thank you. Then the other one is going to be Boo, a Madea Halloween. That's going to be hilarious. I know they're going to laugh, and it's a comedy, so there might be some scary things there, but I don't think it's going to be anything to scare you. I think the one that's going to scare me a bit is the movie 31, which is directed by Rob Zombie. So that's coming out, and it looks scary from looking at the trailer, so I think I'm going to go check that one out.
Reggie, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for being with us again.
No problem. I appreciate it. You guys have a scary and ghoulish time.
That's Reggie Ponder, known as Reggie the Real Critic. He appears weekly on Vocalo in Chicago and elsewhere. He joins us to talk about scary movies leading up to Halloween. Stick around. More to come here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.